If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
Needed to do all these things to take care of myself, because when we take care of ourselves, we take care of our babies. And what's good for us is good for our babies.
Welcome back to a new episode of the Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm your host, Nina Boyce, certified fertility awareness educator and Reiki practitioner. And this episode is a special one for me today because I'm talking with my wonderful therapist, Tiffany Rose Wilhelm. I've shouted out to her a few different times throughout the most recent podcast episodes, as she's been such an important part of my own postpartum healing journey. So grateful to have found her. And I have talked to many women who are wanting to open up about mental health, whether that's in the postpartum period, perinatal, whatever area of life you're in, even if you're not a motherhood. Mental health is so, so important. And I'm grateful that we are in a time where we're opening up more about this. And I wanted to have Tiffany on the podcast today so we could talk more about what women can look out for when it comes to pregnancy or postpartum anxiety, depression, or just not feeling quite like yourself. And there are so many resources and tools out there and reasons why, even hormonally, right? That we go through such physical and mental changes during pregnancy and childbirth. And I want to create a space that is safe to have these conversations and provide everyone with resources where they can go to learn more and find the support that they need. So Tiffany is an independently licensed social worker, lactation counselor, and certified in perinatal mental health. She owns her own private practice in Columbus and has worked in a variety of settings with kids and their caregivers, such as intensive home-based therapy, school-based therapy, and with perinatal women in substance abuse recovery through individual therapy, group therapy, and attachment-based parenting trainings. She's also the mother to 3 and 6-year-old boys, and she herself experienced postpartum depression and perinatal anxiety with both boys. And so she comes to her work with her own personal experience and then all of her credentials, which is personally why I related to her so well. And I'm so excited to have her on the podcast to chat more about this really, really important topic. Before we head in, I just wanted to add a bit of a trigger warning for anyone who is currently experiencing intrusive thoughts, anxiety, or depression. These can be sensitive topics. And I want to share that before we dive in. I know that sometimes when we're in the thick of it, it can either be difficult or it can be helpful to listen to podcasts such as this. So just know where you are in your personal journey right now. If this is a conversation that you are ready to listen to, or maybe you want to save it for later. But regardless, I cannot wait for you to learn from Tiffany. She is amazing. So let's go ahead and hop right into this episode. Before we hop into this episode, I wanted to share a little bit more about my new online fertility awareness program, Luna, Reclaim Your Cycle. This program was created to help you prevent pregnancy without synthetic hormones or to optimize conception naturally, truly depending on your unique fertility goals. Because here's the deal, women deserve to understand how their bodies function. There's been too many years where we've been given minimal advice on how to achieve our desired fertility goals. But with Fertility Awareness Method, you can feel empowered to make the educated decisions you need on your body and your hormones again. So FAM teaches you how to identify your unique fertile and infertile patterns every single day. So that means no more hormonal birth control or expensive fertility tests and Googling and listening to all the podcasts and buying all the books. Everything you need to know to understand your body's fertility clues and menstrual cycle is included in Luna. Now you can access this vital information with the full support and accountability you deserve through this online program. And my favorite thing about Luna is the 3-month membership. So when you sign up for the program, you'll be added to my membership where you can ask questions, you can share your charts with the other girls in the program. I can personally look at your chart and help you figure out what's going on. And I'll be hosting one monthly live Zoom call in that membership to pick one or two different charts to go through. So you will really get a well-rounded and fully supported experience with learning fertility awareness method, as well as the ability to explore other women's charts in the program. So if you join Luna, you will learn the best charting methods for FAM and how to get started, all about women's anatomy and an in-depth education on cervical mucus, how to accurately chart your basal body temps, track your LH surge, and identify your peak day. I have 2 devoted modules, one for FAM for natural birth control and another for FAM to optimize conception. You'll learn how to analyze a variety of charts through the live case studies, and you'll learn how to heal and live according to the 4 phases of your cycle with bonus modules on nutrition for hormones and gut health for hormones. Luna truly teaches you how to understand your menstrual cycle and hormone fluctuations on a deep level so you can achieve your fertility goals without all the hassle. It would truly be my honor to be your fertility awareness educator, and I'm so excited to share this program with all of you. If you are interested in joining Luna, I will have the program linked in the show notes. And for all my Healing Hormone podcast listeners, I'm going to give a special discount for $25 off the program using the code PODCAST. So again, this will be linked in the show notes and you can get $25 off. Just use the code PODCAST, and I absolutely cannot wait to support you on your journey towards learning fertility awareness method. Hi, Tiffany. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I've been wanting to have a therapist on here to talk about pregnancy, postpartum, motherhood, all of the emotions that go along with that, and the importance of mental health during this time. So I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, of course, you are my therapist and the person that I go to. So it's just wonderful to have you in this setting and to be able to talk so openly and share this important information with this community.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yay. So why don't you start off by sharing, I mean, you're a mother yourself, so you have personal experience with raising little ones and going through all of these different life stages, but you also are doing this as a profession. So how did you get into this? And, you know, maybe even chat a little bit about your own personal journey into motherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Not many people end up in this field that haven't experienced postpartum, or I should say perinatal. So when I say perinatal, pregnancy and postpartum is all kind of wrapped up in perinatal. So not many folks get to this specialty just by chance. Usually we've experienced some perinatal mood changes, or folks that have experienced infertility, or, you know, loss, unfortunately. So I guess I am a mom. I have 2 boys. They're 3 and 6. And I've been a social worker for quite a long time. But my specialty in perinatal population didn't happen until a little bit before I got pregnant with my first. I just felt... You just feel a calling, you know, and I'm sure that you can relate, right?
Yeah.
That's your specialty. You just feel something that's calling you towards, I felt something that was calling me towards this population. And I did everything in my power to continue to niche down, get to just working with moms. And then when I was pregnant, so my first, who's 6, when I was pregnant with him, experienced some mood changes that I was not used to, experienced some perinatal depression. And it wasn't too significant. And unfortunately, being a therapist, you know, I'm like, I've got coping skills. I've got, you know, my resources. I've got all of these great protective factors. I'll probably be okay. And both of my boys were born early, 36 and 37 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And so with that, I experienced a whole lot of shock and some anxieties that came with that, you know, about their health, mm-hmm. about their safety. And so after my first was born and I experienced that, I told my therapist, because that's her specialty, how do I do this? I want to do what you're doing. I want to work in this space with other women, because now, even more so that I know what it feels like, I know how isolating it can feel, and it can feel like a character flaw in you. You know, it felt like something that I did something wrong, or I wasn't good enough. I wasn't a good enough mom. I didn't prepare myself enough. And so with that experience, niching down and doing the trainings that I needed to, and I'm certified now through Postpartum Support International, it prepared me better for my second, who just totally blew the lid off of everything that I had prepared myself for. And so it was a challenge to work with other pregnant and postpartum women while my second was, he was the one that was born at 37 weeks. He was so colicky until like 5 months. He hated life. Like, he just was not happy.
Poor guy.
And you would never know how. He's like a little ray of sunshine. He's so sweet. But he was miserable, and now I know he's got he has some sensory issues. And so all of that makes sense now, but at the time, it just felt like, again, like, what did I do wrong? Mm-hmm. I thought I prepared myself. And so I'm so thankful for my therapist, who has the specialty in this and could see those things in me without me even saying that. So that's my journey that brought me to this field. And the same with lactation, the same with the certified lactation counselor, and also my struggles with breastfeeding brought me to the journey. So not many people, like I said, get to this space unless you've experienced. You can, but a lot of people, come because of their own personal journey, for sure.
Yeah, which I appreciate so much. I think you really do need to kind of shop for your therapist sometimes and find, and one of my big things, I want to feel like they can relate to me. So, you know, before I had a really great male therapist. Like, I love him. My husband still sees him and everything. And like, we used to go together and see him. And I definitely like had some sessions with him immediately postpartum, and they were helpful. But I also was like, you know, I feel like I want somebody that has been through this exactly, you know, that's a mother that has had the hormonal shifts happen to their body, that has birthed these children, and that knows what it, because there is that element of there's the hormonal shift and there's the emotional like stuff that gets all mixed in. Then there's the physical healing. There's just so many elements. And then there's the breastfeeding that you talked about. I mean, so many things. And it's just, you want somebody that has the credentials to help you, but also maybe has been through it themselves, because there's that connection to feeling like, oh, they understand what I'm going through.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so glad you said that too, about shopping for a therapist, because I think, you know, I see a lot of people that, even when we're just talking about their OB, you know, or midwife or medication provider, and feeling like you have to, not with yours, because you had a great experience, you know, with your male therapist, but some people feel that they have to settle, you know, it's like, and you don't, you know, you're the one that's in charge when you're on that other side of a therapy session. And it is important to find someone that you connect with, because connection is the biggest part of the process. And someone can have all of the skills, they can have all of the knowledge, they can have all of the, clinical or working experience, and, or have a really big name, or, you know, have something out there that a lot of people can, I've heard of them, or, oh, I know, you know, someone who sees them. But if you don't have that connection, none of that matters. You're not going to want to be vulnerable. You're not going to want to show up every week, or, you know, however often your appointments are. You're not going to want to, you know, be in that space with someone if you don't feel connected to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is so important for people to know, that you have the right to choose who you feel most comfortable with. So something that really I struggled with was the fear of having postpartum depression and anxiety. Like, that was a big thing for me. And I mean, you of course know that. And so I wonder if there, and I'm sure that there are a lot of other people that worry about the same thing. You know, maybe they've had anxiety throughout their life, or periods of depression throughout their life. And they're like, you know what, a really horrible time to have that come up again would be when I just had a baby. And so I'm curious, like, Are there any things that we can do or new mothers can do to prepare themselves? Like you mentioned, like you felt prepared and thought you prepared yourselves in some ways. I thought I did. But sometimes, you know, shit comes up. And so what are some things we can do to maybe prepare ourselves ahead of the game? And then also to maybe recognize and know some of the signs of what's normal and what's not normal after we have our baby.
Yeah, yeah. I also want to make sure that, you know, I say that some of this, I can touch on some about the pandemic too, but like some of this information that we're talking, that I'm talking about, I mean, the pandemic, you know, in the last year and a half has just really, besides the fact, like increased a lot of depression and anxiety that we're seeing in pregnant and postpartum people. It's also really effed up you know, our postpartum plans and our, you know, supports that we've put in place or, you know, coping skills or things that we've put in. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great to go out and have a mom's group that those are amazing, you know, for new moms to connect with other people of, you know, sharing experiences and like, oh, your body doesn't feel like your body. You don't recognize yourself in the mirror. Wow, I didn't know that was, you know, a thing that we all experience. We don't have that right now.
Right.
Like moms, you know, pregnant postpartum moms now in this last year and a half have really been robbed of that experience. When I think about, you know, protective factors for pregnant folks, which I do have pregnant people who schedule and who start to develop that relationship in therapy before their postpartum.
Yeah.
And so if that's something that someone's interested in, they have that space for that and that ability for that, I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And not saying it's because I or any other therapist were some like magicians, you know, once you're connected with us that like, you're not going to experience this, but anyone that you can add to your support team, so you're, people in your support network are one of the biggest protective factors you can have.
Mm-hmm.
So surround yourself, develop those relationships as best you can. I know it's hard with the pandemic, as best you can with either other parents, people that you trust and people that you feel, you know, people who know you and who can see changes in you or feel safe enough to say, I'm really worried about you. I really care about you. And you seem like you're hurting and I want to make sure that you feel better. Some other protective factors could be, or things you could do to plan and prepare for that is I am like huge on resourcing out. I talk to every mom about like, what can you get off your plate? You know, it is great to have, you know, healthy home cooked meals every night or something. Wouldn't that be amazing?
But yeah.
That is not a real thing. That's not a thing that, you know, 99.9% of the population can do.
Yeah.
It's okay. No, that's totally okay. So think support, your support system. What can you resource out? What can you plan for now? And yeah, thinking about what are things that I, you know, that make me me, that make me feel like me. And you know, that's coping skills, but really it's about what feels good for you and what makes you you, and how can you plan for that postpartum? Mm-hmm. You know, how can you give yourself that space? Also recognizing we can put this whole plan together, right? Just like I said earlier, I can have this planner, I can have this, these tools and then get to postpartum. And I'm just, you know, as you know, we can have totally, unexpected things happen.
Yeah.
And so giving ourselves grace and giving ourselves, you know, permission to like fall apart and not be okay and know that it's temporary, you know, us falling apart, not being okay, doesn't have to last forever. Some of the things to look for, the number one thing that I ask about, and I have it on my intake paperwork saying it's so important, is not feeling like yourself.
Yeah.
And women or birth people who've had babies, who have not felt like themselves, like totally recognize that's different than like, well, of course your body doesn't feel like your body, right? It changes so quickly and changes so much, but not feeling like yourself, having thoughts that bother you or that scare you. And that can be on a whole spectrum of things. Mood shifts. So, you know, maybe you're not someone that's super sensitive before you gave birth. And so having periods of time where you're just crying and not sure where that's coming from, irritability, getting angry quickly. quickly. Difficulty sleeping, difficulty either eating, either your appetite has changed, either your appetite's changed too much or not enough. And again, just like not feeling like yourself is the number one thing that I hear from other women who've experienced mood changes. You just feel weird. Like you totally. Just feel like it's off.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. 100%. And I actually want to like pick on a few different things that you said. The first one is when you were talking about preparing, there were a lot of things that I was like, I am set. Okay. Like number one, I have this podcast. I'm interviewing lactation consultants. I've done my research. I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm like researching hypnobirthing, like all these things. And then I was reading like the first 40 days. So I was like, okay, I know good meals are important, warming foods, this and that. I'll get a massage afterward. Like, so, you know, all of the tips that I was like, these are all the things I'm going to do. And then I was like, oh, I'm set. I have a therapist as well. So like, I'm good. Like I had all these like ideas in my head, which all were great because they did support me later on too. But like you mentioned, I was not expecting a lot of things. And I know everybody's births are very different and there's no like comparing birth. I don't want to say trauma, but like things that you struggle with your birth. Like we can't compare, but you know, I wasn't expecting to not have an unmedicated. I kind of thought I would have an unmedicated birth and it would be great and it would be fine. And then I was expecting to breastfeed more easily. I wasn't expecting her to be in the hospital with them. So there were like a variety of things that kept hitting me. And I was like, what? And then I remember too, you really nailed it. It's like, I just did not feel like myself. And that was what scared me. I was like, I just don't feel like myself. And it was to a point for me where I was like, I'm not living my best life anymore. You know, like that's like what it came down to. And, you know, from my personal experience was my appetite had changed. I was having trouble sleeping and my body had lots of panic. It was just this feeling of like, I feel like I could go into a panic attack at any time. And that's a really scary feeling to have like all day long when you're trying to care for this little one. And that was my big thing was like, okay, I need to look at resources because I want to be better so that I can be there for Gia as best as I can. But there was still so much shame, you know, like even though I knew these things and I was like, I know where I can find help. I know I can get a therapist. I know that there's medication if I need it. I know I have these options. I still felt a lot of shame. And I wonder if you see that or like, is there anything we can do about that shame and where does it? It might just be a societal thing. I don't know. I guess I just didn't want to say, yeah, I have postpartum anxiety and depression. Like I just didn't want to have it. So I had that shame around it.
Totally. I think you hit the nail on the head. And I am one, yeah, I definitely practice from a feminist lens. And I also blame a lot on society. Yeah. Get back to this, you know, male dominated, very heteronormative society of like, yeah, I am so happy that we have made progress with talking about perinatal mood and anxiety disorders and changes. I'm so happy that we have made progress with talking about breastfeeding difficulties. And with that also comes, I mean, we have social media. With that comes then, you know, it's very much, I don't know, like a balancing effect maybe, you know, of then we have lots of other figures, lots of other people, and I'm not shaming these people because again, we're products of our environment and our culture that we live in of, you know, showing this idealized image of pregnancy and postpartum and what those things can look like. And with motherhood also comes, I don't know where this like innate, you know, blame and guilt and shame.
Oh,
you know,
it's like ingrained in us.
It's kind of happening, like brain changes that happen, you know, hormone shifts. I don't know. I am sure. I mean, we could theorize, you know.
It has something to do with like the protective hormone, I think. Like, it's like, you know, you love and you need to protect and it's your fault if it doesn't go well.
Yes. And instead now in 2020, what that looks like is I have worked my ass off to make, you know, and thinking about my personal experience, my second had a tongue and a lip tie and a recessed jaw. And I'm working my ass off to try to make this work. Mm-hmm. And instead of, this lens of like, gosh, look at how hard I'm working. I am working so hard for something that feels so important to me. I am a superstar. Mm-hmm. You know, look at all that I'm working against. I have postpartum anxiety. I have postpartum depression. I'm having difficulty breastfeeding. I'm having physical symptoms then from not being able to breastfeed, you know? And instead of, I am a rock star, it's, what is wrong with me? Why am I such a failure? Yeah, what am I doing wrong? I'm not enough for my baby. Yeah, you talked about racing thoughts too and anxiety. And yeah, a lot of those they're not always about health and safety. That's a huge one with anxiety, but guilt, shame, and blame are huge, huge. Yeah, and if we're spending a lot of energy, you know, living in that place of shame, you know, and when I think of guilt and shame, you know, guilt is I've done something wrong. It's that feeling that we've made a mistake. And shame is there's something wrong with me.
Right.
You know, it's internalized. And when I talk about guilt with moms, I always talk about, like, I call it misplaced guilt, because, like, you didn't do anything wrong. You've done absolutely nothing wrong. It's not your fault that you're having breastfeeding difficulties. It's not your fault that your birth didn't go the way that, you know, you had planned. It's not your fault that these people that you had set up in your life are not able to, you know, because of the pandemic or, you know, whatever. Yeah. Guilt, blame, and shame are huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
They're so huge. I remember my mother-in-law was talking to me when I, you know, I was having a rough time. And I think this was after we actually had gotten back from the hospital. And she was like, you are doing everything you can to protect this baby. Like, that's, you know, and she said that to me, she's like, you, there's nothing more that you can do. And I was like, wow, you're right. You know, like, there, I'm doing everything. And that actually did make me feel really good. Cause when you take a step back out of your brain, you're like, wow, I really am giving everything that I can. And the reason I'm so worried or whatever, it really comes down to, for me, it was because I want to be the best mom for Gia. And when I thought about it that way, I was like, wow, doesn't that make me a good mom just for thinking that way? You know, maybe I should give myself some grace because I'm being really hard on myself. And one of my other friends, her name's Emily. She's amazing. She's also a psychologist. And she said to me, she was like, you are the best mom for her. Like, you will always be the best mom for Gia. That actually makes me kind of emotional to say, but it's so true. Like, we are all the best parent for our little one, no matter what we're going through. And so that's also a very comforting thought for me.
Totally. Totally. And having anyone, and, you know, you speaking to you, speaking to myself as well, speaking to anybody who's listening, who has experienced any postpartum, any perinatal mood changes, doesn't make you a bad mom. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It means we need to get you healthy. We need to get you feeling well. And it says absolutely nothing, about your capabilities of being a mom, which I think is a huge misconception. Mm-hmm. Huge. And it's still, even with more information out there, like I said, I'm so thankful there's more information out there about postpartum depression. But also, that's the only thing we talk about. You know, there's postpartum anxiety. There's postpartum OCD. There's postpartum bipolar. There's, you know, there's a lot, postpartum panic disorder. There's a lot of things that can happen to women because of all the things that we've been talking about, environmental changes, you know, hormonal changes, which obviously you know a lot about. It's what you talk about. And our identity changes, you know, our body image changes, brain changes, you know, physiological changes that happen, or neurological changes that happen, all of these things, and lactation, however that goes, changes our hormones in our body. So we're having all these changes, and it's not just postpartum depression. And that doesn't mean that you don't love your baby. That doesn't mean that you can't have a good bond with your baby. It's a huge misconception. Like, I don't have postpartum depression. I love my baby.
Right.
I'm connected to her. I don't have depression. It's like, that can happen for some people, but that is not at all the marker that I look at when talking with someone to determine if they have postpartum depression.
Yeah, I think that is the scary thing. I mean, it was for me before I went through it, was like, well, if that happens, if I have like the anxiety or the depression or the panic or whatever, does that mean I'm not going to be connected to my baby? Does that mean I'm not, you know, all of the thoughts and fears that start creeping up? And one thing I learned going through it was, well, number one, it made me realize how resilient our bodies are. Like, we can go through it. And like, you know, as long as we get recognize and get the help and resources we need, our bodies are so incredibly resilient. So like, and I'm saying this now as somebody that has, I mean, I think my hardest time was around 3 to 6 weeks. That was my really hard time. But I did know what to look out for, and I did get help like pretty quickly. And mm-hmm. I now feel, you know, pretty good for the most part. I really, really do. I mean, we all have moments, right? But I feel like now, like kind of coming out of it, I'm like, wow, our bodies are so resilient. Our hormones are really resilient. And we don't have to be maybe as scared of it if we kind of just put the resources in place and know that we have that support if something does happen that you need to reach out for.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point this is Postpartum Support International's like tagline of, you know, with the right treatment, you can be well. And I might be paraphrasing, maybe it's healthy, but it is these postpartum mood changes that we're talking about are temporary. They are treatable with the right help. And you don't have to live this way forever. This doesn't have to be the way, you know, your life is forever. And I know that we're both talking from places where we're not necessarily experiencing that anymore. Mm-hmm. So recognizing, yeah, when you do feel so hopeless and you do feel so low, it does feel like, you know, a bunch of, you know, bullshit that people are like.
Totally. Oh. I can admit to that when I'm in it. And for anyone that's listening, when I'm in it, if I were to hear a conversation like this, I'd be like, this is too much for me. You know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I can relate to that as well. It's again, why it's important, or why it can be really important to go to someone who has specialized training or experience in this, at least the training, because I know what it feels like too. I know what it feels like. You know, I had a lot of scary thoughts with my second, and, you know, had plans of like, oh, well, it's okay if we return him, you know, we'll just return him. He's a broken baby.
He can go back.
Yeah, it's okay. No one will blame me if I give him up. And it's like, I can laugh about it now because I love him so much. We have such a great bond and such a great relationship. At the time, because of all these hormone changes and because of all these life changes and things, I was in sleepless nights because he was
crazy. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Your brain is not, you know, that's not you, you know? And so that wasn't me. So when we're coming from a place, you know, our brain, it's not us. Yeah. It's really hard to hear some of these hopeful stories, but it's important. Like if you can just take like one thing, you know, out of someone's story, that's enough, you know, that's great. And that's my hope with sharing this information. Like if someone can just take like one tiny little thing, that's good enough.
Well, and I don't know if I've ever shared this before on the podcast, but I remember one moment in the middle of the night, you know, Gia had woken up and this was super early. I think it was around like 3 weeks postpartum or something like that. And she was crying and I knew she probably needed a diaper change. And this is when I was trying to breastfeed and pump at the same time. Also like weigh her in between pumping to figure out, like, it was just, you know, a whole big old mess of things. And I remember waking up and I had this thought, like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like that's the first thought that came to my head. I don't want to do this anymore. And then in my mind, the next thought was, how can I say this? How can I say that I don't want to get up and do this anymore? Like, I love Gia so much. Like, why did I think that? And I remember the whole next day, I was like, how did I think that? How in the world did that thought pop through my head? But you know what? It's like what you just said, like, that's not me. Like that was just, and something that has always been the most grounding phrase or thought for me in the world was like, our thoughts are not us. Like we can have the most outlandish, craziest, weirdest, don't make any sense or even scary thoughts, but that is not us. Thoughts are just thoughts. They come and go. And so I actually like kept telling myself that the next day. It was like, that was just a thought, Nina. Like it means nothing. But I know so many people that have had very, very simple, like you even shared one, like, I'll just take them back. Like those are just, we've all had those thoughts.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad for you that you were able to separate yourself and get some distance from that really scary thought. And I work a lot. A lot of women that I work with, you know, experience intrusive thoughts. And so when I say intrusive thoughts, I'm thinking a thought you didn't purposefully think, right? You weren't intentionally planning. I wasn't intentionally planning to, and what does that even mean, you know, to give my baby up? I don't know, but that was just a thought that came into my mind of, it's fine. Let me wash my hands, be done with this baby. I'll get a new one. It'll be better the next time around. Yeah. You know, but that was an intrusive thought. I didn't plan. I didn't want to plan. I loved my baby, but I didn't love my baby in that moment. Like, per my brain, you know, I was exhausted and just not thinking clearly. And so I see a lot of folks who have intrusive thoughts, and intrusive thoughts can come with postpartum anxiety. They can come with postpartum OCD. Intrusive thoughts are also so normal, even outside of what we're talking about, right? Like, that's just a normal human experience of having just little brain blips of like weird stuff that pops up. And I love that. Yeah, your thoughts, they're just thoughts. It's not you. It means nothing about you. Yeah. So for anyone who has experienced or does experience any scary thoughts or any intrusive thoughts about themselves or about their baby, please get some distance from that thought. Please separate yourself and recognize, like, that is not you. It says nothing about you. It's a really weird brain blip. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, those brain blips or those intrusive thoughts, they like just, what makes them so successful at sticking around for some people is that they choose the things that are the most, you know, against who you are as a person, right? So it becomes a moral dilemma internally, you know, of like, no, I love my, I'll use mine, you know, no, I love my baby. I would never get, you know, I worked hard for this baby, you know, and I love him so much. But this thought of giving him away was so against my moral code, you know, of myself as a person. And that's what makes them really successful at sticking it around, is because they poke at that stuff.
Yeah. And I feel like even that can bring relief too, because it's like that thought feels so horrible and hurts so much because it is the opposite of who I am. So that's not you, right? And that was something that, again, gave me a lot of relief when I learned about intrusive thoughts. I was like, oh, wow, they suck so much, not because something's wrong with me. It's because they're the opposite of me. That's why they suck so much.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's why the ones, probably for most people, the ones, you know, when you're driving, you're like, what would that be like, you know, to like hit this barrier, or you're standing on the edge of a cliff and you're like, what if I jumped off? That's why for probably a huge percentage of us, those are not thoughts that stick around, because we know I'm not going to jump off that cliff. I don't want to crash my car, you know, into this median or whatever.
We let it go. It's like a passing thought. Yeah, like I'm on this high thing that could happen. I remember too, just to like add a little anecdote or whatever the word is, I would ask my husband, like when I was going through stuff, I was like, do you ever think things like that? And he was like, all the time. And I was like, you do? And he was like, all the time. And I was like, they don't bother you? He was like, no. And I was like, oh. I'm like, oh, because you don't have anxiety. Okay, yeah, you just let it go. Fine. He admitted, he's like, I think that all the time. But yeah, like then, but those are not things that have these like moral meanings about us, right?
Correct. Right. Yeah. You pretty much know that. And it's also, what does that say about me as a person yelling over this cliff? Like nothing. It says that I'm scared. You know, it says that I'm scared of this cliff is usually where our brains clip. Where our brains go. But yeah, the other thoughts, especially when we become a mom, because again, going back to that mom guilt, you know, that we brought up, we feel like everything comes back to us. You know, everything says something about us. So I have a thought that I don't want my baby anymore and I want to give him back. You know, I want to give him away. What does that say about me? Mm-hmm. You know, what does that say about me as a person, me as a mom, and then me as a professional, you know, I had in my brain too. But yeah, it's important to recognize that those thoughts are not you. They're just brain blips. And the point of them, you know, I shouldn't say the point of them, but the sticking point of them can be, how much attention do we give them? Like how much anxiety, you know, are we, you know, feeding this by like questioning ourselves and asking ourselves what's wrong with us? And really just like you did, just like continue to repeat to ourselves, it's just a thought. I notice that I'm having a really scary thought and it's giving me a lot of anxiety. It's making me physically ill. And then now what can you do? You know, now can you step away? Now can you take a drink of some cold water? Can you do some stretches? Can you go outside in the sunlight? You know, can you do something else to kind of like disrupt that energy, disrupt that pattern that's happening?
Taking a quick break in the middle of this episode to share with you about one of my new favorite online workout memberships, which is Unmeasured. It is a bar membership class, literally unlike any bar class you've ever taken. And I'm not just saying that. My really good friend, Simi Bodich, who is a certified holistic health coach and anti-diet coach, certified intuitive eating counselor, and also a certified bar instructor, has created this membership because she spent years where workouts were a desperate attempt to try and fix her body, trapped by exercise rules and by instructors who were always creating so much pressure around the body and feeling guilty about modifications. And Simi was like, you know what? I'm going to create a workout membership where you can learn to enjoy movement again. And I was totally on board when she asked if I wanted to try one of her classes, and now I am hooked. I absolutely love how strong I feel. She has 25-minute and 45-minute classes, which are perfect, let me tell you, for any mama out there. The 25-minute classes are perfect for Gia's nap time. And my favorite thing about Unmeasured is not only do you have unlimited 24/7 access to these classes, literally for the cost of one studio class drop-in, it is a $25 a month membership, but you have a library of 10 classes, a mix-up of 5 20 to 25-minute workout videos, as well as 5 40 to 45-minute videos, and these are refreshed every single week. So you have 10 new classes to choose from every week. She also does live pop-up classes where you can join her on Zoom and work out with all of your friends. It is the best. And I'm so grateful because I have a special link to give all Healing Hormone listeners a 7-day free trial to sign up for Unmeasured. And then after that, remember, it is only $25 a month, which is the same amount as a single drop-in class. And if you have never tried bar before, or even if you have, I am telling you, this is structured so differently where you feel incredibly powerful. It's almost a mix between yoga and bar and ballet. And it's so powerful to move your body in such a way. I was literally sweating and shaking during the 25-minute class, and it was just what I needed during Gia's quick nap time. And I'm so glad to share this Unmeasured membership with all of you. I'm going to link to that 7-day free trial in the show notes, and let me know if you join because maybe we can do a live bar class together. Again, that is a 7-day free trial to Unmeasured Bar membership. It is going to be linked in the show notes. I hope that you guys enjoy. I want to kind of switch gears a bit with, we're talking about like things that can be helpful. You know, like you even mentioned the thing of like drinking cold water can help distract your mind, or going out in the sunlight. And of course, I always still believe like if we can, you know, eating well is great for our body, like trying to get more sleep, which is very difficult during that. Like that's going to, like there are lots of things that do help stabilize our mood, but sometimes they're not maybe working in the way that we want them to work, or not working as fully, I guess. And so that's kind of where I was at. My next step was like, I was even doing some yoga. I was trying to meditate. I like was too panicked to meditate. And I love meditating. It's like such a great release for me. It was hard for me to do yoga because my mind wasn't softening so I could connect with my body. And I was trying to journal. Like, I know I had all my tools and I was trying to eat well and go on walks and whatever. And then that's finally where it clicked in for me, was like, well, maybe at this point, like maybe my body does need some extra support. And so I kind of want to talk about just like the stigma around medication for a little bit too, because that was a hard decision for me to make. And I shared this on the podcast a while back. It was like hard for me to share on the podcast, but I wanted to tell people like, it's okay if you need something to help you. Like it is okay. Do you know why there's probably, we still have this stigma around medication? And I think it can be kind of big in the holistic community.
Yeah. One, I would ask people, you know, that self-disclosure, I also took medication. I was on Zoloft after my second was born because, like you, I recognized I need something else. Yeah. I am at a state where my things are not working for me and I'm not enjoying anything. Nothing felt good. Nothing felt enjoyable. That was a clue to me that like something is low, you know, something is lacking inside of my body that I need some help with for now. So also, yes, for everyone to know too, like I'm coming from a place that I did take medication after my second. I would be curious for folks that have that feeling, you know, that fear of taking medication. What do you believe it says about you? Mm-hmm. What do you believe it says about you to go outside of yourself or to utilize something else?
I'll say my example because so my biggest thought was the belief that like if I needed help outside of myself, that something was wrong with my body. Because that's my deepest fear, I guess, you know? But then I realized that we all have tools out there at our disposal for when we need them. And it doesn't have to be so black and white or end all be all. And it doesn't have to mean, going back to the same thing, it doesn't have to mean anything is wrong or broken with me. And I'm telling you, I'm so thankful that I took sertraline was what I was taking and still taking. I'm so thankful for that because it really helped me get my body to a place of balance where I could start using my tools again. Like the panic in my body was not conducive to me living a great life, okay? It was not great. And having that calmed was just such a breath of fresh air.
Yes. I tell this to people that I work with too. I don't want you to work so hard to regulate yourself that now you're exhausting all of your emotional energy and you're getting to that point, you know, to be able to use these coping skills that now I have no energy to even do them. Now I'm just like rebounding. Now I'm going to be in bed for a day or half a day. You know, now I just can't even do this thing. If we're getting into a place where we're like you talking about the meditation as an example, which I think is a really great example of a tool that worked for you at a certain time in your life. Mm-hmm. When you are in a different time of your life, and this is very simple, but when you're a different time of your life, that might not be the tool that does the job anymore at this time of your life, right? So it's something that you enjoyed and it's something you wanted to get back to. Yeah, your body, where you were at, it was not ready to do that. It wasn't in a good place to be able to do those things. And so yeah, I think medication, exactly as you described it, can be a great tool for some people. And it doesn't have to be a tool that you use forever if you have feelings about that. It's a tool for that time in your life when you need it. And I don't know what collectively this stigma we have around medication in general. And right, I understand what you're saying about in the holistic community. And it is just so interesting to me. You know, it is 2021 now. We have an incredible amount of science. I mean, we're totally lacking in like women's science.
Totally.
And women's health. So yeah. We can't ignore that fact. But you know, we've made such advancements in science and pharmaceuticals and all these different things. It just like continues to blow my mind. Like, why are we shaming people
who are
trying to feel well? You know, what business is it of anyone else's? Mm-hmm. How you choose, you know, to treat your body, how you choose to get well, what you choose to do with your time, what thoughts you have about things. Like, it is nobody else's business what 100. You choose. Yeah, it's most important, like, what works for you and what helps you feel well. Like, everyone else, I don't know, like, can, you know, take their opinions and keep them to themselves. They don't.
Yeah, stay out of my business.
totally.
I had Mallory, the formula mom, on the podcast recently, and she said something where like the pendulum has swung too far the other way. Like on one hand, like back in the 90s, I was formula fed, my husband was formula fed, and it was like no big deal. It was like formula, formula, formula. And then, or I guess it was like the late 80s. And then now the pendulum has swung completely the other way. Breast is best. Like, don't give your baby that poison. And when I was telling my mom, like, I'm so struggling with breastfeeding, and she could see it, and I was crying all the time, and it just wasn't working. She literally was like, why don't you just do formula? And like my husband's mom was like, just switch to formula. Like you guys were on formula. You guys are fine. And it's the same thing has happened, I think, in the medical community or like the holistic community, conventional communities. Like we just swung too far. Like it's not all or nothing. We can do both. And actually my biggest lesson coming out of the birth of Gia is learning that. Like, oh, I can do both. Like I don't have to be one or the other. I can live in the gray. And that was like honestly still the biggest lesson I've ever learned from my whole birth and what I'm still going through with Gia.
Totally. Totally. Yes. This is such a great conversation because you're so right in the person we're talking to. Yeah. With the pendulum swinging. And I understand, I'm sure a lot of it too, right, is rooted in distrust of the medical community.
Which is founded in some sense. Like I also get that. I do still absolutely struggle with some distrust. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I totally respect that and understand that. And I, you know, think about, again, back to my experiences. My first I delivered with midwives in a hospital, and my second was a home birth with midwives. And I did this, you know, I did placenta encapsulation or consumed my placenta. And I did all these different things, you know, in this like, in both worlds, I guess you can say, you know. And so I totally recognize, yeah, that it's like, we have this conception, oh, you did a home birth, you know, you for sure are breastfeeding and it's going to be easy. I don't know, and everything's great, and you did these things and it's going to be fine. And you, you know, have all these ideas, and it's like, well, I took medication and I saw a therapist, mm-hmm, and I recognized that, like, I needed to eat fast food or order out because that I just needed to do all these things to take care of myself, because when we take care of ourselves, we take care of our babies, and what's good for us is good for our babies. Mm-hmm. Yes. So yeah, I totally see that. Yeah. With the pendulum swinging, and it's a hard time. I mean, it's always a hard time to be a mom, but it's a really hard time. Yeah. With a lot of the information that's out there and some of the,
well, and there's so much information. That's the thing that where it gets hard is like, you will find whatever you want in the bubble that you're in. Like if that makes sense, like if you're in a specific bubble, you'll keep going down the rabbit hole of that information getting pushed back at you. So it becomes like, almost like we become like the different religions of like different things. It's like it encompasses your beliefs. But then if you kind of get out of that bubble and you explore another one, you're like, oh wait, that'll make sense too. So I feel like we just need to not hold on so tightly to certain things and beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that idea of flexibility.
Yeah.
I mean, mental flexibility is a really great protective factor. I mean, is a great skill to have, because it is a learned skill, you know, that we is great for everyday life and is amazing for a lot of the things we're talking about, because yeah, births don't always go as planned. Breastfeeding journeys don't always go as planned. Our kids also don't always go as planned. You know, their temperament might not match us. And so that flexibility, and like, it doesn't have to look one certain way. I don't have to feel one certain way. I don't have to be one kind of way. The more we can get comfortable with that idea of being flexible as, you know, much as possible, I think will serve us like really, really well in pregnancy and postpartum.
Yeah, 100%. I wanted to add one more story, because when you were talking about your home birth and your second child, you talked a lot about your situation with him. I remember when I was at the pediatrician, she was saying like, you know what? I like did everything quote unquote right. I did like no medications, all this, all that. And my son has severe allergies, like such severe allergies. And she's like, and you know, I didn't eat the gluten and I didn't do this and all of this stuff. And I, at that time, was just feeling like, oh, the reason Gia has such sensitive skin and this and that was because all of these things that I probably could have done better. And you're so right. Like, you know, it's like you had this home birth and you still had your own struggles postpartum. So like we sometimes think, oh, well, if everything just would have been perfect, whatever that means, that none of X, Y, and Z wouldn't have happened. But like, let's be real. That's just an illusion. Like we all are going to have things that are wonderful and things that are hard. Like, just okay, and that's okay.
Totally, totally. Yeah, that's a really great point. Yeah, and I'm glad that comes off of that conversation of flexibility, because there's no such thing as a perfect anything, and yeah, we can do. And this isn't to discourage anyone, you know, who is important to them. You know, it's important to me that I eat this way, or it's important to me that I go for it. Yeah. If that's what makes you happy and that's what makes you feel whole, you know, but when it can get into that territory is when we're feeling like we're banking on that, you know, like I've done everything perfect. And so when things don't go well, it's because of me, because of something I did, and it's not.
Yeah, no. And I, you know, I still really value eating healthy. I still really value all the things I'm doing for my own hormonal support. I mean, hello, I teach it. So it's like, I so value it. But for me, it was at that moment, it became a very blame game. And that's where I was like, okay, this is where I know this is where it's not healthy anymore. And I think that was like a great way for me to distinguish, like, is this in a healthy place or is this in a place of blame?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So when we're talking about all of this stuff, I mean, it can be pretty heavy stuff, right? And I don't want anyone to feel like scared or fear. I want it to be very hopeful of like, if you struggle with any of these things, like, there are resources out there and it will be okay. You know, like we can all go through periods of time where we need help and that's totally fine. Also this, you know, maybe you won't struggle with any of that at all. And that's great too. So just to kind of wrap that up, you know, how can people feel hopeful with going through this period, pregnancy, postpartum, and knowing that there is support and like, it doesn't all have to be scary.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And brain to remember, yeah, we're talking about some of the scary parts to re-illuminate some of the things that we don't talk, you know, that are not talked about. Right. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. We could have, I mean, a whole week long podcast about all of the great parts of parenting and pregnancy and postpartum, even experiences that didn't go well. So yes, we want to make sure that we say that. Yes. No, number one, that you are not alone. And not only are you not alone because you're not the only one, you know, experiencing this or afraid if you might experience this, but there are lots of people out there that unfortunately, but there are lots of people out there who have experienced what you are experiencing or what you're afraid to experience. Mm-hmm. And there are trained professionals. There are great resources, and I can give those to you as well. If you want to leave those, there are great national resources and local resources out there for folks. Great books, great podcasts, great groups online for people to join to feel connected and learn more. So knowing that you're not alone, knowing that it is temporary, knowing that it is treatable, and knowing that you can go on to have a healthy life. You can go on to feel more like yourself. You can go on to be in the spot like we're talking, you know, that we're speaking from.
Yeah.
Of we have some distance and we can look back on it. And so it doesn't last forever. And you can be in a really good spot after getting treatment, after figuring out what it is that you specifically need to help you feel more like yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so comforting. And I was even thinking today as I was like holding Gia and she's like cracking me up. She cracks me up all the time. Like when I was in it, I kept thinking like this will never go away. And I've since had so many months of just like, I love her so much, you know, it's like she's the cutest little best thing ever. And I just keep thinking, number one, I'm so grateful that I had resources. And you were even mentioning friends, like before I had any therapy appointments, I had a friend group. And I remember one of my friends was like, oh, nope, I totally had that thought too. Don't worry. My sister was struggling with postpartum anxiety. Like that thought you're having is normal. Oh yeah. When I stopped breastfeeding, I also struggled with my emotions afterwards. Like just having like friends to also make you feel like you're not alone was key. Then having professional help to make sure like you are getting the treatment you needed. And then also there's medication if you need that as well. Like you will come out of it. So it is very, very treatable.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's just end with a couple resources. I want to share my favorite is the podcast. I think it's Mom and Mind.
Yeah, Mom and Mind.
Yeah, that's a great podcast that helped me feel a lot less alone. And then I know that there are like some other resources that we'll link in the show notes too for anyone that wants to save them for later or that might need them right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Mom and Mind is my favorite podcast. I love that podcast. That's a great one. Postpartum Support International is, International is the large organization. And on their website, If you just Google Postpartum Support International, it comes up. On their website, they have great resources. They have free groups you can attend and like very specialized, you know, NICU moms groups. They have groups for dads, you know, to support dads as well. POEM, POEM is our local, our Ohio chapter of PSI. POEM has amazing groups of people who work there who do a really great job matching people with therapists or other resources that they might need. So, you know, anything from what kind of insurance you're using to, you know, your hours of availability to what kind of therapist you want. Like they just do a really good job of getting a feel for people and matching people that who have availability. There are some really great books too. My favorite is Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts. It's a really great book, and she has, Karen Kleinman has a lot of other great books as well. She specializes in this field as well and has founded the Postpartum Stress Center. And so the Postpartum Stress Center has an Instagram, which is also super helpful, and they have a lot of really good information too. So yeah, there's lots of resources out there.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. We will put all those links in the show notes. And then for anyone that wants to connect with you, where can they find you and learn more?
Yeah, you can connect with me. My website is therapywithtiffani.com. And you can link with me if you want any information on resources or where to go, you know, to find a good therapist that you connect with, things like that. I am more than happy to help people.
Yay. All right. Well, this has been so great. And I just cannot wait for everybody to listen to this and hopefully feel a lot of comfort as they head into a pregnancy journey, or maybe they're in their postpartum period themselves. So thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning into that episode with Tiffani. We have linked to Postpartum Support International, POEM, in the show notes, as well as the book Good Moms Have Scary Thoughts. All of these resources are incredibly supportive. There's also a space on Instagram called the Postpartum Stress Center at the Postpartum Stress, and that is going to be a wonderful resource for you all as well. And remember, I'm always here. If you need anything, I'm happy to guide you and offer the resources that have been supportive for me too. Thanks so much for listening into the podcast, and I cannot wait to talk to you all again next week. Have a great one.